Yeah, so I just, would that advice be, so I just
told them. You didn't want to rear your grandchildren?
No, I didn't want to have to stay home and rear my grandchildren, because I wanted to get out and do my thing once I reared my children. And I never did mind my grandchildren, only in emergency, whether it was sickness or when they were having babies. I was always there and I stayed with them until they got on their feet. But I never ever went and mind them just for them to have a social life or to work. I never did do that.
And so you did have some time to pursue your own
interest. I've always been interested in arty things. Then decided I could do things what I want to do, because my husband was okay. He had a wonderful secretary, and living, his business was at the back, and I felt no one can live 24 hours together without something going wrong. Although we have a wonderful relationship and we still do, I felt I had to get out and do things, because he had his business here. And see, when he retired, it was different, you see, because he didn't have to say, I don't go to work anymore. His business was there. He just walked out the back door. Mm-hmm. He didn't have that dreadful trauma of saying, I'm retired. It was a different thing. But anyway, I decided I wanted to do some things, so I went down to an art school and I did some painting for about 3 or 4 years, which were on the wall. And then I didn't like that, so then I went to flower arranging, and then I did pottery, and I did all those sort of things. And then I decided I'd go back to what I always loved doing, and that is fine embroidery, and that sort of thing there. So I still do that, and it's just I've been able to do that. And then of course community aid has taken so much of my life up. I spend so much time down there, and so I could do all those things, because I could, wasn't one of these grandmothers that wanted to be looking after grandchildren.
Good for you. And so when your children were small, what would your, or while they were at school here before they went away to boarding school, what would your daily routine have been?
Well, I've always been out and about. When they started school, there wasn't a mother's club at their school. So I went down and I started a mother's club. And that flourished for 25 years, and I was asked to be guest speaker at their 25th anniversary. Then I worked very hard for that, and got lots of things for the school, and in those days we'd have little fetes and things like that to raise money. And then I was interested in Meals on Wheels. I did that for many, many years, and then I became president of the Meals on Wheels service at Governor Phillip Hospital. And then I started community aid, so my life has always been out in the community. And I did, without bragging, I was awarded an Order of Australia for services to the community, and I was also senior citizen of New South Wales.
Really?
So, and I was awarded the Premier's Award, and I don't know who ever put me in for those. I will never know. You're not supposed to know anyway. But it was, you don't look for those sort of things. It was nice to came there.
And so, what about ordinary mundane things like housework and washing and shopping and that sort of thing?
Well, I hate all that.
But suppose you had to do
I had to do it.
Mm.
But I've always had someone in the house to help me.
Mm-hmm.
Ever since my children were little, I've had a woman come in Monday a week, and she does the jobs that I don't want to do or don't like doing. Like vacuuming and cleaning bathrooms and ironing. She does, that's all she does, just the ironing ones and cleaner out, and she's only here for about 3 or 4 hours a week.
Mm.
And between us we go right through the house and dust them, but I let her do the jobs I don't want to do. So I've never had to, I've been fortunate really, with being able to do that.
Well, it's great if you can pursue your own interests, and you've done so much to help other people.
but then I'll community. Have the support of a wonderful husband, because you can't do that if you haven't got that support.
No.
Or your marriage is, it's pretty quickly fall apart. Mm. I've never neglected him. I've just always been here, particularly now that he's not well. I wouldn't go too far afield now. Mm.
And what about growing things in the garden? Did you have a vegetable garden?
We had the most wonderful garden, but we had won the Grand Champion Garden in Penrith area for 2 years.
And was it your half or his half?
It was all of us at that time. We only started to argue later. No, it was a whole garden, and our trees weren't as big as they are now. We could grow wonderful things under them, but now ferns are the only things to grow because they're so big, and I'll take you for a walk around that later to show you. So that took a lot of our time. We spent hours in the garden, and we didn't only just have, we had thousands of plants in. It was absolutely fantastic. And so we won the garden competition, the Grand Championship, for 2 years in a row, and then the third time we won the best back garden. So
when
that
was an
achievement.
Would that have been in the
60s? 60s, yes.
And did, that accounted for some more of your daily routine?
Oh,
time,
well, yes, that's right. Mm-hmm. I'd go out every morning and snip off all the little dead violas and things mm-hmm. like that before I'd start anything else. Mm-hmm. But
did you shop locally, close to High Street?
Yes, yes. Mm. But we didn't shop for good clothes. We'd go to Sydney to buy anything. Yeah, we always did. But then I've been fortunate again. I have a sister who is a dress designer. So I just hand her a piece of material if I make that. And she still does, actually. Mm. Yeah. So I've been lucky that way. The shops, there was nothing much here in our early days here. They were very, very poor. There was only one big department store, which was Fletcher's, and that was in where the mall is now. There was only a couple of doors down from where my father had a produce business in those days. And then Grace Brothers Myers took over, and then it was Grace Brothers. But that originated from Fletcher's store.
Did you have things delivered? I mean, apart from milk and bread, did you have groceries delivered?
Yes. No, not a great deal, but they did deliver them if you wanted them delivered. Mm. Yes. But bread and milk, of course, milk's still delivered, but we don't, no one gets bread now.
And what about the banking facilities in the area? Was there a bank here in Penrith?
Oh, yes.
A couple of banks.
Yes.
So talking about finance generally, how did you manage your household finances? Who managed your finances in the house?
I did, but my husband always gave me X amount of dollars to manage that on. And in our early stages, when he took ill and I was just at a hospital with a new baby, we had put everything, and I mean everything, into buying a truck and setting up this new business. We did go through a dreadful period for about 3 years where we had very little. We had everything but money, so that didn't matter really. I mean, people say you're poor, but you're not poor if you've got one another and you've got love and surrounded by people. It's money doesn't make you poor. I don't think anyway.
No.
Really? I mean, I mightn't have had a new dress for 2 or 3 years, but that was only then. I could see we were going to get above that when my husband got well, and it wasn't like a terminal thing or anything like that. He just had to get over the illness he had. And but we did go through a dreadful time there for a few years, or about 3 years, I think, and then we really got on top of it, and we never looked back. But I always managed the household. He manages we've both got our set things we do, and he pays all the accounts. I sign the checks as well as him. He's not one of these people that dominate and say, oh, I have to run and I could go any time and write out a check.
And you're brave of man.
He is. He definitely is. He, for a man of going on 80, he's absolutely fantastic with his ideas about what women should stand up for, and it's quite unbelievable.
He's obviously given you a lot of support.
Oh, yes. Well, we recently had a golden wedding, and we had a wonderful church service, a ecumenical church service, and we had our six grandchildren as our attendants, and we renewed our vows, and at our wedding breakfast, if you call it that, my husband's speech was that he'd waited 50 years for this wedding breakfast, because we had loved to see.
Oh, that's very good.
Yes.
And so you had really, so did you mostly shop by cash, with cash, or you didn't use credit at the local store?
There was no. And my husband always prided himself that no matter what we had in this home, he paid for. He never used a lay-by, and he never paid anything off. We saved for what we had, and we still, if we want something that we think, well, that's a bit much, we think about it a lot before we'd ever... And I think that, the one thing we did lay by, when I was so ill, my husband was ill, we didn't have a washing machine. And he said, we have to have a washing machine, something you just have to have. And we didn't have the money, quite truthfully, to buy the washing machine. So he went down and bought it back, ordered it, and had it sent home. And he was paying it off. He said, I can't stand this. So he went down and then... And within a few weeks, he went down and handed him the cash. So that was the only thing that we ever, ever thought of paying off. We never had lay-bys or
time payments.
And we never ever did that, even with cars. If we wanted a car, we'd save up for it.
So you had a car, did you?
When we were married, yes. My husband always had a car before he was married. And... we've got photos of those little cars, and it's quite unbelievable now.
What sort of cars?
It was a little Ford, and then we got a little Wasp, I think they call it. Of course, then we got the first Holden that came out, and so we've progressed along the way.
That was about 48, wasn't it, the Holden?
I don't know. I can't remember. I can remember that.
And so. Did you work at all as an employee for anyone other than your father and your husband?
No. I never ever worked for anyone else.
Did you get paid a salary when you worked for them? For your father?
My husband was director, I was secretary, and my three children were directors.
Oh, right.
So it was a family business.
And what about health services in the area?
Well, there was no area health or community nurses or anything like that.
Did you have your children in the local hospital?
No. Because I was so ill, and for some reason I heard of this wonderful doctor at Parramatta, so I went to Inchinook Private Hospital at Parramatta with three of my children. My husband drove me down there. And it was rather interesting, actually, when we moved into our second home, where we started our own business, there was the greatest worry of my life was to leave an active two-year-old child. In the grounds of this home, there was a air raid shelter that was built during the war, and so that was the first job we insisted on having it done in, so they had to cover it in because it was full of water. You see, the water that got in would have been a disaster.
Where was that?
That was in when we moved, when we first started our business, our own business, and this was just in the grounds outside the kitchen door. Actually, was this air raid shelter that the people that lived in the house before us had put in. But it was rather interesting. During the war, we had to have pardon me, we had to have blackout curtains. And I remember one night there was a bang on the door and the warden came in and he said, "Turn your lights out." There's a flick of a little beam of light showing along the side, so we had to sit in the dark till the all clear sounded. And another thing I remember so clearly is we'd go to the pictures, and during the war these women had been knitting socks. And even now, if I hear knitting needles click together, that takes me back. Yeah, strange, isn't it?
Was that here in the local cinema?
Yeah.
That's the old
Dungowan. No, that was wasn't in the Dungowan. That was, there was two. There was that one, Dungowan, and there was Pop Spinner, and Mr. Spence had the Penrith in High Street, up where the Bank of New South Wales, or where the Westpac Bank is now. There's a nice old theatre there. But there was something I was going through then, I can't hear what's about that. So I remember the night that the war was declared, actually, as though it was yesterday, because Friday nights in Penrith was the big thing. You used to go and sit up in High Street or do your little shopping. It was Friday night, it was late shopping. And it was the 3rd of September, and we went up, my husband called, my fiancé then, called for me, and we, I was married, that's right. We went up Main Street and sat down, and I went in for a shop and came back with some shopping, and we switched the radio on. We did have a radio in the car then, and I can distinctly remember that message coming out that we're at war with Germany. And then I remember when the war was over and the festivities they had here, and when the war finished, the great joy that we knew a lot of young men who went away. My husband was called up. He had to go to the drill hall, the Penrith drill hall, and that's what we knew next door where the TAFE college is now. It's since been pulled down or burnt down, it was. And he had to come with a cup, lunch and a pencil. That's what they told him. So he went for his cup, lunch and pencil. And he was working the petrol business. And he was he was in charge of Ampol distribution of petrol in the area because petrol was rationed. And so he wasn't called up. He was given this job of looking after petrol supplies in Penrith. Ampol petrol supplies, and so we he had to
necessary
that's right. So he did that. One of my sisters joined the army, and she was a sergeant in the AWOS, the Australian Women's Service, Army Service. Another one was called up, and she had to go to St Mary's to. She's working in a factory down there, making something or other for the troops. I've forgotten what it was now. But she only did that because she was called. They asked the women to go down there. But I wasn't called up because being married and having a family, having a business, whatever, I wasn't in that.
Your sister, who joined the army, where did she
go? No, she didn't go very far afield, actually. She went down to Wagga. She was at Malaysia, and she used to come home and say, we'd say what was going on. She said, "I'm sorry, I can't tell you." And I found out since that was radar, was the head radar. And we found out since, but she would never say. Well, she wasn't allowed to say. And then when she got out of the army, she rejoined as a civilian and went back in the army again. She stayed there for the retirement, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And what about the churches in the area? Were they, did you find that they played a big part in the community in the old days, back in the 40s?
Yes. Well, I came from a church-going family, and so did my husband. They were very deeply committed, uniting church people, Methodists in those days, as well as with my family as Catholics. Mm-hmm. Yes, I think it did play a big part, because my mother used to have house parties, lots of house parties, and we'd have sing songs around the piano and lovely suppers people would bring and things like that that they don't do today so much because we're all watching our diets. But yes, I guess it did play a bigger part than it does today with most people.
So it was a social, an opportunity for social get together.
Oh, definitely.
As well.
Oh, yes. They'd run tennis parties and things like that.
And did the church have any sort of community aid programs themselves?
No. I think that's only really coming into the churches now. Mm. I know they have an outreach program and they're outreaching to people that need help in all sorts of ways, and they have a visiting and all sorts of things they're doing now that they didn't have in those days, I think.
And what about recreation? We've already mentioned that you went dancing and went to the cinema.
Mm.
Did you or your children play any sport? Or?
Yes, but my husband's always insisted on children being too tired to worry about doing anything else. And he's always said that, and he still sticks to it. And so I've never been a sports person. I'm not a sporty person. I used to play golf and a little bit of tennis. Because of my ill health, I couldn't run around the court, so I took up golf for a few years. But my children were quite good tennis players, and my son a cricket player because of my husband's insistence. But also because he managed teams in the area. He used to manage a cricket team and tennis teams. So he used to take the teams round with him. But it was good. The kids are always interested in sport.
And what about the river? Did you swim in the river at all?
Yes. Well, that was one of the main recreations in the hot summers. We used to go down where the weir is now. And it's not fit to swim in now, they tell me. And it's dreadful to think of a beautiful river like that.
Yeah.
But in those days, we used to hire rowboats.
Right.
And we'd row up the river. And that was fun too. And they also had something like the Nepean Bell now. It's not a paddle steamer, but a little boat. This Cafe Mar used to take people up the river. But mainly when we were, before we were married, we used to take rowboats up and groups of us would go rowing up the river and take a picnic lunch with them. It was fun. It was simple fun, but it was fun.
Mm. What about holidays? Did you take holidays regularly?
No. Before I was married, and I'd just go away occasionally, but when our children were little, my husband didn't take a holiday for 16 years until one day. I'd been going away a couple of times. I took the children away because I thought of school holidays, so I would go to Newport or Manly or somewhere like that with them, and my husband would come down weekends. So one day I was in Sydney and I walked past a Tasmanian tourist bureau. I thought, I'm going to do something about this man, so I just went in and booked us all for Tasmania. And I came back and I said, your business will have to run without you. So we went to Tasmania for 3 weeks. And from then on, we never stopped travelling. We still travel. We've had some wonderful trips overseas. We took 7 months off and went and did a trip around the world. And we went over to Alaska and Canada and New York. And we've done all the Pacific Islands. So It was that initial standing up and saying, right,
Tasmania was the beginning.
Enough's enough, we've got to go. Mm. So we've travelled right around Australia.
When would that have been, a Tasmanian trip?
Yeah, our son would have been about 8, and he's in his 40s now, 43, so it's a while ago. So we've had some wonderful holidays. And what we do now, we get all meet up once a year, our children and grandchildren, somewhere, like Barrel, Craigie Bernard Barrel, or the High Crown Majestic up the mountains, or the old Carrington. Any of those places, we meet up once a year and we have this wonderful family weekend together, which is beautiful. And the children, our grandchildren, are enjoying the just getting together as a family group. They come here a lot, but just having a lovely holiday together like that.
You see a lot of your grandchildren here too?
Yes, oh, they come down. My daughter was down from Carra last week and brought one of her sons who was 18 and brought on 19 and brought his girlfriend with him, and they stayed for a few days, so it was rather nice. Yeah.
And what about animals? Have you kept animals at all?
Only dogs. We had, when we had children, we had a dog, so we've never had any other.
You haven't had chooks or cows?
No, no. When I was growing up, we did, but
did you?
Not. Mm. No, not in our marriage.
You had a cow for milk when you were growing up, did you?
Yes.
Mm. And the organisations that you belong to, you've mentioned the community aid and Meals and Wheels and those things. What about CWA and Rotary and all those sort of things? Were you involved in those too?
My husband's in Rotary.
Inner Wheel,
yes. I'm a member of Inner Wheel. I'm not a good member. I don't do anything in it. I go to their functions from time to time. I seem to be more involved than I want to be in some things, so I don't always get to those functions. But I am a member of Inner Wheel. What was the other one you said?
Country Women.
When I was, before I was married, I was the social secretary of the Country Women Association. That's going back a long while now.
Do you, you've obviously made a lot of friends through these organisations, and in the old days the community was fairly small.
Mm.
You've had a lot of friends. Have you kept in touch
with
them?
Yeah, all the time. And the sad part about it, all those friends as couples married, and now there's 6 of them have lost their husbands. So I'm the only one with a husband left, and I've got to share him when I go out with all these people. And he loves us.
He'd love that.
So you
had a supportive family, but you also had a
wonderful friend.
Well.
No one could know what friends are about until you're in trouble.
Mm.
And when we found out about my husband's cancer a month ago, it is absolutely unbelievable the people that have come here to offer to look after him if I want to go out. Cancer support team has offered to help. 3 women I know who are trained registered nurses have come and said, oh, go on, if you want to go off, stay and rub his back for you and things like this. And it's just so wonderful, the support we've had from the community. That young man that's saying he's only in his 30s, he came to just to see how Tom was. You know, there's people being well known in the Gary, I suppose, because we're in business for so long and I've been involved in the community for so long.
Yes.
That we know so many people.
But also being a small community back then, had the opportunity to know a lot more of the people.
Oh, yes. Well, my husband gets disgusted when he says he walks down the street and no one knows him, or he doesn't know anyone. But that happened because it's such a big community now. Mm.
And how do you feel about the shopping area and how the old shops have gone and been replaced by these bigger supermarkets?
That was a very hard thing to get used to. When you go into a shop and you're used to being served over the counter and say, I want a metre of that or a pound of butter, and they would serve it to you over the counter. And you can go into a shop now and they don't recognise it's a Jew. As a matter of fact, to be quite truthful, I was in Grace Brothers, and I'm not ashamed to admit it was Grace Brothers. And walked up and I picked up what I wanted and I took it over the counter. I handed my charge account to the woman. She took that, made out the docket, wrapped the parcel up, walked away and said, sign it there. She didn't speak. I said, excuse me, but I said, I am not deaf. Are you dumb? And she looked at me and I said, you are very rude. Very rude. Don't even recognise a customer when they come in the shop. In those days, you wouldn't.
It was personal service.
It was. And we still stick to that. If we find someone that gives us good service and they are struggling to get on their feet, we would go and give them our business in preference to a bigger firm because there's no...
become a bit impersonal, hasn't it?
Very, very. Yeah, yeah.
And do you think, how do you, did you feel about the area changing from a more
country it's too big.
Area?
Well, we don't like it. I still love my life here, and no way could we ever move away from here. But we just think it's just too big. Because now, when I get into my car, I've just got to think, now I want to go there. How do I get there? You've got to think which way you're going. So, no, we both agree that it's...